This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Hi, Mr. Durham. I hope you had a good weekend. And I know we have a really, really special show lined up for Bobby Bowden. But man alive, what a crazy, crazy weekend it was.
Yeah, you know, just getting the word, confirming probably what we knew was short time coming. Unfortunately, after the announcement a couple of weeks ago, you know, just to have the finality to this, and you get to start to think about the impact Bobby Bowden had, not just on Florida State and college football, but maybe in particular on this conference when they arrived in this league in the early 90s and kind of, you know, set sail through the league. Quite frankly, in the first, 9 years. You know, you're grateful for the experiences and the engagements and the acquaintances with coach and things like that. But then you start to think about the players and the impact. And look, I think we saw it with Dean Smith, Mark. I think you and I saw it, you know, because of the players he impacted. I think that, you know, when Coach Smith passed away, the former players really told you the story, didn't they? I mean, they gave you the storyline. And I think the former players at Florida State, you're giving us a lot of the storyline of Bobby Bowden, and it's incredible. It really is.
Well, here's the thing that, you know, and I'm as guilty as what I'm about ready to say as anybody, using the word great. You know, in our profession, whether we're broadcasting games, hosting radio shows, a lot of times you'll hear you use the word great, 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 great. Bobby Bowden was better than great. There's such a word. And I'm not even talking about wins and losses. I'm not talking about national championships. When you read the testimonies yesterday, after word got out yesterday morning, and what this guy did to impact your life, and I'm talking about being a parent, being, you know, giving back to community and society, this guy was more than just a coach. And we're going to rattle through a bunch of numbers, and they're going to blow your socks off. But even more importantly, he was beyond that. He, you know, his tentacles reach deep into people's lives to change you and make you a better person. And what he did at Florida State, sensational. I mean, just beyond belief, right? And you mentioned Dean Smith. But there is just a short few number of coaches, Wes.
Yep.
That you can start talking about when people talk about them. They don't even talk about the games, right? I think that's when you realize you've got a special person in charge of a program. When we don't even talk about, man, remember when we beat so-and-so or when we won that championship? When you read the testimony of these incredible players, it wasn't about winning championships. It was about making me a better person. And the combination of faith, yeah, family and football, how often did you see that combination as a thread of people talking about Bobby Bowden and what he meant? Again, it wasn't about winning the national title or a dozen ACC titles or sending somebody to the National Football League. It was about faith, family, football, and primarily in that order. We lost an incredible special person yesterday. And for anybody that had any chance to interact with him, whether it be an interview, whether you're covered their team, whether you're his next door neighbor, whether you played for him, you know what we're talking about. He was a really unique, special individual, and a humongous loss for not only college football, Florida State, but really humanity. He was that kind of guy. Really special.
Yeah. I think, you know, again, I'll go back to former players on this because I've been fortunate to know a few guys that played for him, countless coaches that that interacted with him in one way or another, either as opponents or maybe even serving on the staff. And his graciousness and his relationship with everybody was basically the same, whether he met you once or 1,000 times. And you respected that. You respected the fact that he was always the same guy. And, you know, when he retired, things changed, obviously. But he was still Coach Bowden. And that's the part, too, that as we move through these tributes in the next week or so, I think people are going to realize the level of impact. The level of impact across not just football at Florida State, but across college football. How many guys? I mean, we heard some wonderful candid comments from Nick Saban. We've heard some of the ACC coaches. Commissioner Phillips said it best yesterday. I mean, you're talking about legacies here that are unmatched. And, I mean, the only other comparable thing we have when somebody passed away and you realize the impact of former players, I think right now, is Dean Smith and what that meant. I think John Wooden holds the same kind of legacy pack, don't you? I mean, yeah, but that's way out on the West Coast at UCLA.
But I would give you a guy like John Thompson, too. I think John Thompson was one of those kind of guys.
John Thompson.
That had such an impact on his kids. And the message was more than, hey, wins and losses. It's how you handle yourself. It's how you become a great parent, a man. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. The really special coaches really have nothing to do with wins and losses. I mean, it's kind of like a given. It's the impact of making your, you know, an important person, your character, how you treat people with respect, the consistency you talked about, what Bobby Bowden did. You know, I remember a story before. I didn't even really know Bob. I knew who he was, but I didn't really know him. Mm-hmm. And I was with a buddy once, and we were in an elevator, and I was telling this crazy story, surprise. And Bobby Bowden got on the elevator. And he walked on the elevator, and everybody just kind of did a double take. Oh, my God, it's Bobby Bowden. So Coach was sitting there, and he, you know, just minding his own business. And I'm telling this crazy story. And he had pressed whatever floor he was going to. And the elevator doors opened. It was his floor to get off. And he didn't get off. And I was still telling the story. And I stopped. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. Coach had said, is this your floor? He goes, oh, man, I want to hear how the story ends. And so, but that was just kind of who he was. I mean, he just had this persona that, you know, he didn't think of himself as anything special, but he just treated people with such respect that you kind of felt like you knew the guy after just having 5 minutes. And we had a good laugh, and I ended up with a story, and he ended up going, dog, you know, daggum, boy, that was a funny story. And then he pushed the button back and went back down and got off on the floor. But he was such a kind, gentle soul, too. And, and the fact that he just happened to win 8 trillion games and multiple national championships really was kind of like the icing, not the cake. And but man, what a special, special guy. And you know, we all knew that he was ill, but when you got the word yesterday morning, oh man, it really hurt. That hurt.
Yeah, it did. You know, the numbers are going to pop off the page, and today on the show, we're going to try and give you at least a sample, maybe a cross section of people that connected with Coach Bowden in one way or another, either as former players, coaches, colleagues, things of that nature, to kind of just showcase what he meant and the impact he had. But if you put the numbers on paper, it's amazing. Here are the guests that we've got coming up. We'll start bottom of the hour. Danny Cannell will join us at 7:30. Excited to have DK with us again. He's been a friend of the show, and we look forward to the visit there. Legendary voice of the Seminoles, Gene Deckerhoff, will join us at 8:15. Former Bowden assistant, Miami head coach Manny Diaz at 8:30. Really appreciate Charlie Ward being here. 9 o'clock, the 1993 winner of the Heisman Trophy. Derek Brooks, the former Florida State linebacker. And then Mickey Andrews will be with us at 9:30 this morning as we all remember Bobby Bowden today on this Monday edition of Packer and Durham. Mark, we get to these numbers here, and look, there. Last night I had a text exchange with David Teal, and I want to read you what he sent me because it was. He said Florida State was 4-29 the three combined years before Bobby Bowden. During the 14 years where they were in the top five, right? They spent 14 years. Never left the top five. They were 152-19. Holy smokes. I mean, that's crazy.
Well, not to mention when they jumped on board the ACC in 92, they only started off by winning 70 of their first 72 in the league. Only 70-2.
First 9 years.
Yeah. They transformed ACC football. They did. And Bobby Bowden's style, the speed, the precision, the offense, I mean, you name it, everything about it. Mm-hmm. They changed the landscape of the Atlantic Coast Conference. And if the league didn't change, man, they're getting ready to blister everybody by 50. And that's what they did to people.
Yep.
So that number right there tells you everything you need to know. Florida State joins the league in 1992. A dozen ACC championships. The next closest was Virginia Tech. And Frank Beamer, by the way, had really, really good teams. They won three. I mean, total domination when they joined the conference under Bobby Bowden.
Yeah, what they meant to the survival of ACC football is really unparalleled.
That's right.
Because when they came in the league, and again, this is where you want to talk about impact and legacies and all these things. Bobby Bowden may have, if John Swofford saved the conference back in the expansion piece pack, now we're looking at Bobby Bowden potentially saving football. Because there are no guarantees. I mean, there were cyclical deals within the ACC in the 80s. But when this crowd came in the league, everybody had to go get better. And everybody did something in the course of 10 years to improve their football program drastically, be it facility, stadium, coaching staff, infrastructure, whatever. Football, people had to get on board with football if they were going to be in the mix in the ACC after Florida State showed up.
I was going to go before John Swofford. Really, Gene Corrigan is the guy that said, hey, you know what? Florida State needs to join this league. And there were some folks that said, no, what are you doing?
That's right.
Well, what are you talking about? Florida State? Florida State's not going to join the Atlantic Coast Conference. So, yeah, I think Gene Corrigan, quite frankly, the late great commissioner of the ACC, deserves a lot of credit because that really snowballed FSU in the league, in which you just pointed out that everybody had to take inventory and say, hey, listen, now, this is a new beast. And if we're going to compete, we better step it up because otherwise we're going to be a doormat and roadkill. That's how great Florida State's football program was.
And in many ways, I was thinking about this yesterday in a little bit of a travel day I had, that when you talk about Bobby Bowden's impact on Florida State, we can spend some time talking today about Bobby Bowden's impact on the ACC to get the ACC to where it is now in regard of being one of those Power Five leagues. Because, Mark, you and I know this. In the 70s and 80s, football was there. The television contract came back in 84 where it kind of opened up a little bit. There were syndicated football packages and so forth. But in reality, in the 90s, the game changed when they came. And you're exactly right about Commissioner Corrigan. That room was a difficult room to navigate when Florida State joined this league. There were folks that were hesitant to have Florida State in this league, weren't sure what that was going to be about. Was that a match for what the ACC was going to be? Well, when they got in, everybody else had to get better. And they brought a product of football that was not familiar to this league. And it was incumbent upon the other institutions to say, wait a second, rather than getting beat 65-3, we better shape up and figure it out.
Well, I thought, again, not to give everybody a crazy history lesson, the 80s in the ACC had really three super teams. There were three really, really good teams. Clemson was great. Dick Crum in North Carolina was really good. And Bobby Ross at Maryland. You had three big-time teams that really kind of dominated the 80s. And then you had a game, you have a Florida State-Clemson series in the late 80s. Danny Ford was rocking and rolling. Coach Bowden had his thing, the Putrusky game, which I'm sure we'll talk about today, one of the best football games I've ever seen.
Yes, we will.
And that transition, and all of a sudden Florida State joining the league in the early 90s, but it changed the landscape. I mean, it was as much of a change of Florida State joining the ACC as what Steve Spurrier did at the Southeastern Conference by throwing the ball all over the yard in the 90s, and everybody had to adapt to it. But the greatness, which was Bobby Bowden and the Florida State football program, was quite frankly, as we look today, how important football is in the landscape, maybe the most important thing that's happened in the ACC, maybe ever. And I know that's a crazy statement, but given where the landscape is today, I'm not sure the ACC is the ACC without Florida State in the league in 1992.
That's a fair point. And certainly Bobby Bowden, a central figure. Here's the statement yesterday from ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips. Our hearts are heavy as we mourn the passing of Bobby Bowden. The ACC, Florida State, and the entire college athletics family have lost a true giant. Coach Bowden was one of the most successful, humble, and endearing individuals who was also one of the most decorated college football coaches in history. Statement continues, throughout my several interactions with Coach Bowden, it was clear he was warm, friendly, caring, and always made people smile. No secret that Bobby Bowden genuinely loved his players, the Florida State community, and college football. And on behalf of the entire ACC family, our thoughts and prayers are with his wife, Ann, and the Bowden family. And so are ours this morning here on Packer and Durham. When we come back, show rolls on. Danny Cannell, bottom of the hour. Mark Richt was with Katie George yesterday on a special Bobby Bowden tribute edition of All ACC. You will hear Coach Richt talk extensively about the impact Bobby Bowden had on him. And very little of it has to do with football. Next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Find a gentleman and coach that's ever walked a sideline, in my opinion. And just a tremendous human being. But the lives he touched and the players he touched, that's his legacy. And that's what he always talked about. And we did in the last times we talked about that. He said those things, and he definitely did that. So he lived a fulfilled life and said he was ready, and he knows where he's definitely at, that's for sure.
Spot on by Jimbo Fisher. Obviously knows the man and what he stood for. And, again, you're going to hear some great stories today with our interviews. And, I'm sure if you're like us, you read everything yesterday. And just a testimony of what that guy meant to so many people. We lost a great one yesterday, there's no doubt.
Yeah, and Jimbo Fisher is just one of the branches on a tree that stretches back almost over the entirety of Bobby Bowden's career when it comes to, guys that went on to be coaches. Now, we go down this list here, you're going to see that GAs like Manny Diaz or interim head coaches like Odell Hagans may not be listed, but look at the list of other guys that Bobby Bowden essentially moved through the game into head coaching spots. I mean, Steve Sloan, that was a while ago, Pack. Brad Scott at South Carolina, Mike Kruzik at UCF. I mean, everybody knows, Chuck Amato obviously was there for a long time as an assistant coach, and Terry and Tommy and Jimbo. But then you go through some of these other lists, I think people would be surprised at the way the tree ran a little bit.
Well, when you are as successful as Bobby Bowden was and do it for decade upon decade upon decade upon decade, he was no fool now. He's going to surround himself with really good people and go out and recruit and take care of mom and dad and all that good stuff. And, and you're going to hear some crazy stories today, I'm sure, before we're done at 10 a.m. But I'm not really surprised by that list, to be honest with you. When you have guys like this that have been doing it for so long, you know what? There's going to be – boom, X, Y, Z. Here's the assist. Mark Richt, who, of course, is part of our ACC Network fame, is all tied into this thing, too. So, I mean, I'm not surprised by that list whatsoever. This is, again, like we talked about earlier, truly one of the great coaches of all time, regardless of sport, Bobby Bowden.
Yep, exactly right. You mentioned Coach Richt yesterday afternoon. He and Katie George visited as part of the Bobby Bowden tribute on All ACC.
First and foremost, I'm so sorry for your loss. I can only imagine what Coach Bowden meant to you and to your family. Can you describe for us how he impacted not only your life as a person, but as your life as a football coach?
Well, as a coach, he led a young 25-year-old graduate assistant coaches quarterbacks with him. And that was, I didn't even know how good that was back in the day. But my second year there, unfortunately, one of our players named Pablo Lopez was shot and killed, and Coach had a team meeting afterward, and long story short, he just said he didn't know where Pablo would spend eternity because he didn't know where he was in his faith. And he said, "You guys are 18 to 22 years old. You think you're going to live forever, just like Pablo thought, and now he's gone." He said, "If that was you last night, instead of Pablo, do you know where you'd spend eternity?" And he was talking to the players, but it went right to my heart, and I knew where I was going. It wasn't a good place. So the next day I went to his office and prayed to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior, and everything changed after that for me.
Coach, you worked with a variety of people in this business. What do you think separated Coach Bowden from the rest?
Well, I think a lot of coaches motivate through intimidation and fear, and that's pretty effective. I'm not saying it's not, but Coach went about it a different way. He he motivated through his compassion and his love for his players in particular, his coaches, and really everybody that he was around. He just loved people in general because of the faith that he had. And, you know, the players knew he loved them, and so they'd fight for him. You know, us as a coaching staff knew he loved us and our families too, and we wanted to win for him more than us. You know, it was just one of those unique situations where, you know, a leader who didn't have to remind people who the boss was. We all knew it, and we all loved working for him.
It certainly goes a long way. And you mentioned your coaching staff. He's at the top of a very, very successful tree in terms of coaches leaving, including yourself, and going on to have successful careers as head coaches themselves. How did he prepare you to become a head coach?
Well, I just watched him. You know, the thing for me, a lot of first-time head coaches may have been to five different programs with five different ways of doing things, and you'll try to think of the best of the best, and that's what you do. But for me, I spent 15 years with Coach Bowden at Florida State during that wonderful run we had. And so that's really all I knew was the Florida State way, the Bobby Bowden way. And that's what I tried to emulate when I went to Georgia. I did have 1 year at East Carolina under Bill Lewis, which was great. But for the most part, it was all Coach Bowden and his ways. And I bought everything he was saying.
Speaking of some of those ways, I can only imagine the number of lessons that you learned in your 15 years with him. What are some of the lessons that you still carry with you today?
Well, I think one of the things that he let everybody know is that you got to be yourself. You got to be genuine. You can't be somebody else. I can't be Coach Bowden. I can't be Howard Schnellenberger, my coach in college. I had to be me, and he would always say the players would sniff it out if you weren't being genuine. They just want you to be real with them. And I think that's one of the best advice he gave me. But I also remember as a young graduate assistant coach, he'd tell us young guys, he would say, you need to stop looking for the next job. He says, if you want a better job, apply enthusiasm to the one you got. And that stuck with me as well.
He seems like such a family man and was a man of faith and somebody who cherished balance. How important do you think it is for head football coaches to have balance in their life?
Well, it's crucial. And on that point, he used to ask us as a staff, when are you going to see your children? And he didn't mean like once a week. He meant every day. You're going to see them in the morning or you're going to see them before they go to bed? And we chose to have a staff meeting at 8:30 in the morning so we could get up with our kids. I got up with my children, had breakfast, had a daily devotional, drove them to school until they could drive all throughout my coaching career because of what Coach Bowden established at Florida State and what I continued to do at Georgia.
Coach Rick, I appreciate you taking the time to share your stories with us. Thank you so much. And again, we're sorry for your loss.
Well, I was honored to do it.
Faith, family, football. Again, it's a thread that you saw all day yesterday from players, coaches, people that knew Coach Bowden. And I sense that you'll hear that again today throughout the course of our show.
Yeah, I think you're right. When we come back, Danny Cannell, one of his former quarterbacks, will join us. We will talk about the impact Bobby Bowden had, not just on DK, but on some others around him at a time when Florida State was lighting up this league. Danny Cannell joins us next on a special Monday of Packer and Durham on ACC.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
On the first play of the game, show that guy what a tough day he's going to have. He's got to know that he's going through 60 minutes of hell if he stays out there.
He's the kind of a guy that when he walks in a room, you know he's there. He sort of radiates.
I mean, man, I want you to hit him so hard that official's going to scratch his head of whether it was an unnecessary roughness.
I've never met anybody, and I mean anybody, more comfortable in his own skin.
Long before Bobby Bowden became one of the winningest coaches in college football, He was a quarterback at Howard College in Birmingham, Alabama in 1949. But the on-field role wasn't enough for Bowden.
Earl Gartman was our coach. And Earl didn't have any assistants. He would just turn the backfield over to Bobby. So Bobby just kind of was assistant coach while he was playing.
He was learning the insides about football and soaking everything up. And certainly he knew that when he played in college, coaching is where he wanted to be.
His first head coaching job came in 1956 at South Georgia Junior College, where he was also the athletic director, track coach, head baseball, and head basketball coach. In 1963, Bowden got his chance at the big time, joining Florida State as wide receivers coach. Following a switch to West Virginia, where he worked his way up to head coach, he returned to Florida State in 1976 to run a Seminole program that had won just four games in its previous three seasons. What he accomplished in his next 34 seasons was nothing short of remarkable. Bowden won 21 bowl games, including an NCAA record 11-game streak spanning the 80s and 90s.
Third and 10 from the 22. Kicked off by primetime.
But he endured devastating back-to-back defeats versus Miami in 1991 and 92.
It's up. Destin to the right.
Bowden would recover to win his first national title the following year.
And he hooked it left. Florida State wins.
A second title in 1999 capped a decade in which the Seminoles won 109 games.
Bowden did more for Florida State than any coach has ever done for any school.
As his career went on and they became so potent, going to Florida State and wearing the gold helmet, it became the coolest place in America to play football. And when you mix that with Bobby's personality, it was just an almost undefeatable force.
Throughout his career, Bowden maintained that wins weren't the only measure of his success as a coach.
There's so many good challenges in coaching. You know, I don't know of anything more fulfilling than working with young men, trying to help them be better athletes, but also be better persons.
During his tenure, Florida State had its share of off-field controversies. Bowden says he always tried to remain compassionate towards even his most troublesome players.
The thing I don't believe in doing is not giving a kid a second chance. You see, because when I was coming up, if somebody hadn't given me a second chance, I don't know where I'd have been, you know? But somebody did.
In Bowden's final 10 seasons as head coach, Florida State won only 5 of its 10 bowl games. After announcing his retirement in December of 2009, Bowden fittingly coached his team to one last victory on New Year's Day, 2010.
I don't think the college football system as it exists now will allow for the emergence of another Bobby Bowden. He came into his own in a relatively uncynical age of college football where a coach can kind of quietly build his expertise and his program.
He'll be one of the very rare coaches who's almost solely responsible for turning a non-football power into one of the great football powers of the latter half of the 20th century.
I wish that every boy that played for me after I'm gone would say, he helped me with my spiritual life. He helped me to get along with people. He helped me become a success. I guess that would be more meaningful to me than anything.
Great piece. That's a great piece right there. Captures everything you need to know about Bobby Bowden. Somebody knows a little bit about old coach is Danny Cannell. And point blank, Danny, what did Bobby Bowden mean to you?
Everything, you know, I mean, it really, Coach Bowden was such a father figure to so many. And there were a lot of players who didn't have a father. I did. I had a great dad growing up. But then my dad passed the torch to Coach Bowden and said, here you go. And a lot of moms and dads did that for Coach Bowden because they trusted him at this really, you know, crossroads of your life. If you think about what you go through and the life changes and some of the like basic tenets of life that you set up for the rest of your life at college from the time you're 18 to 22. And Coach Bowden laid a very solid foundation of priorities and putting faith first, family second, football third, in that order. So he ingrained in me these values that I teach my children today. So like when I say everything, it really was. I mean, he helped build me into the man that I am today. When you look at work ethic, discipline, but also how I raise my daughters and the lessons that I teach them. So you really, it's just, it's unbelievable the impact he had on me and every player who went through the program in Tallahassee.
Danny, it's more though than it's the concept that, and people say, well, golly, it's easy to do all that when they win. But he was doing it when they struggled. I mean, in the early 70s, when he took that job and they weren't successful that first year, he was still kind of building the foundation of that program. And it's the same thing he did at West Virginia. Conceptually, they may not ever be another Bobby Bowden again at any school who has, number one, the tenure, number two, the impact or the longevity, I think.
Totally agree, Wes. And when you think about where Florida State was at the time, first of all, it was a startup program that was only around for about 20 years when he took over it. The previous four seasons before he got there, I think they had three or four wins. So they were a dumpster fire when he took over it. The stadium looked like an Erector set. I mean, that was the joke of college football, was if you played at Tallahassee, it was an Erector set because you could see all the beams and it looked like a big high school stadium, but not even a nice high school stadium. And he took over that and really did it with a mindset of, we can play and we're going to take on anybody. We'll play anybody anywhere. But then, a family character values driven program that was largely built by Bobby Bowden and the staff that he created. And I totally agree with you, Wes. I don't think we see a coach ever again like Bobby Bowden, who stays at one school for 30, 35 years, because both sides of it, you know, the schools won't keep them around, but also coaches will jump from school to school and look for that bigger payday. But I think the one thing that I take away from Coach Bowden, and this is a different era when he got into coaching, which I think was an advantage to him, he got into coaching to change young men's lives. He didn't get in it for the million-dollar payday or the multi-million-dollar contracts. He got into it. And even before he got into a win championships, obviously he wanted to win, but that wasn't the main priority. It was to change young men's lives for the better and for eternity. I mean, he was more a preacher than a coach, but that was what drove him. He felt called by God to be a coach so he could be in a position with young men and influence their lives, just like he did with me. And man, did he fulfill his purpose.
Danny, recently you had a chance to spend some quality time with him. What was going through your mind knowing him walking through the door here? This, you know, heaven forbid, it could be the last time I have a chance to really spend some quality time with the coach.
It was, you know, looking back on it now, it was such a special afternoon to get to go. I went to his house and we sat down for about an hour and we just talked. And he's the easiest person to talk to. And it's, you know, people might say, well, you're his quarterback. You played for him. He would talk to anybody. He would talk to the, you know, if there was a lawn guy outside, he would have pulled him inside and talked to him too. But we talked about our faith. We talked about our families. He asked me how my daughters were doing. He was asking them, you know, what sports do they play? What are they interested in? How's my wife? Broadcasting. We talked about football. You know, we talked about name, image, and likeness and the changes that we're going through in football. But Pac, I think the biggest thing I'm thankful for was a lot of the time I was spent and we were going over stories of lives that he had impacted, just like we're talking. And it wasn't just mine, but we talked about Warrick Dunn, who has done unbelievable things after his football career. And a large part of that is because Coach Bowden took him under his wing and instilled those values in him. We talked about the Crockett brothers, Henry and Zach Crockett, who grew up right in my neighborhood, just down the street, came from nothing. And now they have a charitable foundation that gives back and does more than maybe any foundation here in South Florida for the local community. Their lives, they're able to do that because of the values Coach Bowden instilled in them. But more than anything, when I walked out the door, I said, I love you, Coach. And I gave him a hug. And when I walked out that door, I really had a feeling, because he's 91 years old. He was tired after an hour. He's like, I'm exhausted. I just don't have my energy. And he didn't know why. And he said, I'm trying to talk with the doctors. But after I told him, I love you, he said, I love you. And we said our goodbyes. I walked out the door and I said to our team chaplain who was with me, Clint Purvis, you know, I said, man, that was special. And I said, that might be the last time, because I don't get to Tallahassee that much. I don't live there. I only get there every so often. And I really felt like that might be the last time that I saw him. And man, I'm glad I got to share with him what I did and have that goodbye and sense of peace. And it was really, it'll be a day that I never forget.
Danny, we're going to hear a lot of stories about Bobby Bowden in the next week. I mean, it's bound to happen. Somebody asked me yesterday, said, how did you know you Coach Bowden was knew who you were? And I said, well, because originally you were Buddy. And then when he knew your name, you were like West Buddy. Right. I mean, that's the only way I could put it. Everybody was Buddy. And then when he knew your name, like, hey, Danny Buddy, how you doing? I mean, so what's your Bobby Bowden story? What's your go to when somebody who does not know Bobby Bowden or they think they know Bobby Bowden? What do you tell them?
Man, there's so many great stories. And you're right. He didn't know my name till my junior year. But that was when you knew you made it, right? And that was the starting quarterback. And then it was like, hey, Dana, come here. Like, but my freshman year, I was Buddy. Everybody was Buddy. But it was such a cordial Southern greeting that it just instantly made you feel special. But, you know, I remember my freshman year, and this is kind of a glimpse of Coach Bowden, because it kind of goes back to the name thing. But I remember he used to do the Sunday morning show with Gene Deckeroff, and it was the seminal show, and they'd go over highlights of the game, and they'd sit there, and they'd have guests, and occasionally Burt Reynolds would make an appearance. But when they did the highlights was when the players wanted to watch, because, you know, we didn't get to go instantly to social media and see our highlights, so we wanted to see the highlights of the game. Freshman year, get into some garbage time, and I throw my first touchdown pass. And Coach Bowden's there, and he didn't know anybody's name. So he'd be like, that number 13, what a great throw that was from that young freshman, looking good. And Gene Deckeroff chimes in. Well, that's Danny Cannell, you know, from Fort Lauderdale. And Coach Bowden goes, boy, I remember his mama, man, she made some of the best Italian cooking I've ever had. And I was beaming with pride. And so my roommate is in there watching with me. He hadn't played yet. And so I'm sitting there feeling on cloud nine. I call my mom up. I'm like, did you watch that? I'm like, he was raving about your cooking. And, you know, my mom was all excited. So the next week, my roommate gets to go in the game and he gets a big sack in garbage time. And so he's on there and we're watching the show again. And Coach Bowden says, well, there's number 48 making a great play on the defense. What an impressive freshman. And Gene Deckeroff says, well, that's Todd Rebol from Port Charlotte. You know, and Coach Bowden goes, well, man, I was at his house and his mama had some of the best Italian cooking I've ever had. And I was like, oh, man. And my roommate and I looked at each other and we just started laughing. I didn't call my mom because I didn't want to ruin it for her. But it was just, he's so great. I mean, it was awesome. And he had a way about him where, you know, and we all kind of knew it because you have 110 players and you come through so many times. But he just had a way about him that just he knew how to get to your moms. And boy, he was going to do it on his Florida State football show every Sunday morning.
And that's what made him a great, not good, but a great recruiter. A great, one of the all-time great recruiters.
Yeah, he wasn't shy about hiding it either. He said, I don't even recruit the players. I go after their mamas. He knew the way to players' hearts. And he sold them. He was like, I'm going to take care of your boy like he's my own. And he did. Because I remember being recruited by him. The first experience I had with him, I remember walking away thinking this is too good to be true. Like in my parents, because you get sales pitches and you have to see who's real and who's not. We were a little skeptical. Like this is like he was preaching and my mom was like, yes. But when he left, you're like, is it the real deal? And sure enough, the more players you talk to in his program, they're like, yep, that's how he is every day, day in and day out. And sure enough, that's what I experienced. And not only did he live up to the expectations of what I thought I was going to get, he exceeded them even more than I could have imagined.
Danny Cannell, Sirius XM, the first team on ESPNU Radio, Channel 84 in the mornings with Dusty Dvorak, CBS Sports HQ. You're the best. Appreciate it, DK. Be well, my man.
You got it, guys. Have a great day.
The stories he could tell. We could have gone for probably a couple hours with Danny and old Bobby Bowden's stories, but, man, it just makes you laugh. And you know, he's right about Coach. If you ever had a chance to have any kind of run-in with him, a conversation, when you got done talking to him, you felt like, you know what, man, I've known that guy for 100 years, right? He just had this innate ability to make you completely relax and could talk about any kind of conversation or topic or debate. He was unbelievable, truly special.
Yeah, More great stuff with Bobby Bowden still to come. 8 o'clock hour, Gene Deckerhoff, Manny Diaz, who was a GA at Florida State. 9 o'clock hour, Charlie Ward, Derek Brooks, Mickey Andrews, all set to join us as well. Quick reminder to you, the ACC Network football road trip continues tonight in Derby City.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Cotter and Coach Mark Richt are in Louisville. They'll talk with Scott Satterfield, Athletics Director Vince Tyree, and more. 7 o'clock, a one-hour look ahead to what Louisville's got going 3-4 days into workouts in year three for Scott Satterfield. Right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. More remembrances of Bobby Bowden when we continue on Packer and Durham on this Monday morning. A lot of former players yesterday sharing their thoughts for the great head coach. Next,
the Packer and Durham podcast. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
10-5, touchdown, Florida State. Florida State is the national champions of college football.
You know, that's funny. I've been asked at times, what's the greatest thing that's happened to you since you've been coaching? And they expect me to say this, that. And I really say it, and I say it honestly. I've never been fired in 55 years.
The big thing is I feel like I can help the kids I'm working with. You see, I'm really big on that. Now, whether I do a good enough job, I doubt it. Now, I hate to give that up. I hate to give that up. You know, but if I do too bad, I'm sure I'll have to.
Rolls to his right. Throws. No! Incomplete! What a finish. What a ball game.
Well, there's no doubt we slipped. You know, there's no doubt. I mean, gee whiz, in the 90s, we won more games than any team ever has in the history of college football, including a couple of national championships and winning the ACC every year. Yeah, we slipped.
Your reputation is what people say about you. Your character is what God knows about you, you know it? And to me, character is so much more important than the reputation.
The worst thing you could say about me, oh, he won a lot of games, but he cheated. Oh man, I'd hate to be known for that. You know what? I like to say he was an outstanding coach, and he did it the right way.
The way I would want to be remembered, the only thing I can value, is that the boys played for me, thought that they were better persons because they played for me. I guess that would be more meaningful to me than anything.
Awesome. All right. Let me just...
Yeah.
Looking back at this guy's career, boy, let me tell you something. You better plan on spending some time, because old Bobby Bowden, boy, he brings a lot to the table now. And I'm not even talking about wins and losses, or trophies or championships. Yeah,
it's funny. DK talked about Warrick Dunn, and that's where we kind of start the player reaction yesterday. And it was extensive, as you might imagine. And Warrick Dunn started off with, Coach Bowden made a huge impact on not only my life personally, but so many others. He was blessed to have had his family by his side when he passed away. My condolences to his wife, Ann, and their family. That's just one of the stories. Now, remember, if you don't remember, Warrick Dunn lost his mom, who was a police officer, in a shooting. Prior to his finish of his high school career, he comes to Florida State. He's got, you know, brothers and sisters and things of this nature. Not only does he become one of the premier running backs in the country and ultimately wins several Pro Bowls and things like that, he starts Warrick Dunn's Home for the Holidays, which is now heaven knows how many homes they've built, and came here at Atlanta Park and started dealing with it corporately. But the inspiration of Bobby Bowden to give back to others was so important to Warrick Dunn. Chris Winkie, who won a Heisman Trophy yesterday, we lost a great one today. Faith, family, and football. Nobody did it better than Coach Bowden. I'll forever be grateful to have had the opportunity to play for this man. Condolences to the Bowden family, and rest in peace, my friend. Hashtag greatest of all time. And Chris, of course, has coached several places, college and pro, after a Heisman Trophy career and a good NFL run as well. Dion, Coach Sanders, Pack, hit Twitter yesterday. God bless the Bowden family and friends and loved ones. My prayers are with you. I've lost one of the best coaches I've ever had. Pretty well said. Leroy Butler.
The Butler
There'll
did
be
it.
More to come from Leroy.
The Butler
yeah,
did
the
it.
The Butler did it. The Butler did it. Leroy Butler, more to come from him on this show. My deepest condolences to Coach Bowden's family. A very special coach in my life gave me a scholarship when other schools wouldn't because I didn't meet certain requirements. If I ever make the Hall of Fame, he is one of the main reasons. At Seminoles, he will be missed. RIP, Coach. I mean, all of these. Antonio Cromartie, who starred at Florida State. Thank you, Coach Bowden. You will be missed. A true legend. Made me a better player. And, man, thank you for always pouring into my life. Hashtag Noel Blooded. Trey Thomas. Man, could he get after you.
No doubt.
Extremely sorry to hear about the passing of Coach Bobby Bowden. He treated all of us like one of his sons. You'll be missed, but the lessons learned will never be forgotten. Go Noles. Steve Spurrier. And, you know, even rivals who poke fun at each other still respect the game, right? Bobby Bowden was one of the all-time greatest coaches in the history of college football, second winningest coach of all time behind Joe Paterno. We had some good battles during my 12 years at Florida. He won most of them, and we won a few. So, Brian Kelly. This is pretty strong yesterday. Brian Kelly. Bobby Bowden was an icon in the football coaching world, but he was even more legendary for dedicating his life to building young men into great citizens, husbands, fathers, and leaders. His impact will be felt for decades to come. God bless his family and all those impacted. And then the former Florida State coach, Willie Taggart, my condolences to the entire Bowden family and FSU football family. And Coach Bowden, your legacy will stand the test of time. Thank you for setting a standard for what a coach slash man should be. Man.
Pretty strong.
So Bobby Bowden at 91 passes away yesterday in Tallahassee. And it's going to be a long service in terms of memorial opportunities. The burial will be a private family event in Trussell, Alabama. But the Tucker Center, State of Florida Rotunda, and also in Birmingham all next week. Next weekend, I should say. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, I think it is, for Bobby Bowden. We'll pass that information on to you, and I'm sure we'll have coverage of it here on ACC Network as well.
I mean, really, it's football royalty. If you think about it, when you talk about the history, mm-hmm. not just Florida State, not just the ACC, the history of the game, this was one of the mm-hmm. dudes. Now, when you start talking about the old, you know, the Mount Rushmore question, which everybody throws on there, but when you start making lists of the greatest ever, and as I led off the show today, we use that term great probably way too often. Well, it fits here. Mm-hmm. When you start talking about the greatest in the history of the game, you know what? I don't care who you root for. I don't care what part of the country you watch this show in, but I got news for you. Bobby Bowden is going to be on your short list, guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And with what he was able to accomplish, yeah. like I said, forget about wins, losses, championships. Again, those numbers will make your head spin. But just hearing the guys that played for him and coached with him, to talk about character and family and faith, it's what it's all about. Regardless whether you're a football coach, yep. if you run a pizza parlor or you're hosting radio or TV shows, that's what it's all about. Family and faith. That's what he was all about. Made him great. Something special.
Yep. The public service, 9:30 next Saturday morning, Tucker Center in Tallahassee. Again, that's the start of kind of the way that weekend will unfold. Saturday, Sunday, and I think Monday is in Alabama as well. When we come back, hour two of this special edition of Packer and Durham on a Monday, we remember Bobby Bowden and the greatest games. Oh, boy. Leroy Butler. We told you he'd be on this show. Sit tight. Appreciate you being with us here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.